confidence that God is putting there by His Spirit.
Yes.
So without any further hesitation in me, I'm just going to turn the pulpit over to Him.
I'd just like to make an announcement, man. Let me be studying here. Let me be thinking of something. I certainly enjoy being here every time. Our journey is getting close to the end now of us staying with you. Because we got another meeting coming up right away in Chicago, and I've got to have the family back in Arizona pretty soon. And they've never had their summer vacation yet, and I'm supposed to take them for a little ride somewhere in a few days. And then I'll probably be away one of the Sundays, and then the following week I'll begin in Chicago. Then I got to come right straight back on a Monday and take them to Arizona. And now, I just hate to come in of a Sunday morning, take that time where everybody's refreshed. Sunday night, you're always tired and wore out on Sunday night, and then turn the Sunday night service over to our pastor. That's very kind of bad. But I hate to do that. Yes, on Sunday night, I would, Sunday night, they have a service Sunday night, and a hold of people so late, many of them coming here from way down in the south and way north, and they have all right. Sometimes to drive day and night just to get here for one service, then go back. And that's the reason I try to make it on Sunday morning when I come, give them a chance to go back. Loyal, faithful pilgrims.
Amen.
How I appreciate them. They drive through sleet, rain, and everything else to get here across the country, hundreds of miles, just for one little service. So, it makes me feel grateful to God and to these people for their great support and what I'm trying to tell to the people to be the truth.
Amen.
I believe this is the truth.
Yes. Amen.
With all my heart. If there was anything different that I thought was better, I'd certainly first go. I won't ask anybody to go anywhere that I don't go first to find out where it's right enough. I wouldn't ask any person to make a step in God that I hadn't already made and know that it's the truth. First, it must be the word of the Lord. Then I must step and see if it's right. And then if it's right, then I can say, come on up this way, see? It's making the way. And now, I think any minister ought to do that, ought to first go himself. He's supposed to be a leader of people. Not speak something that he wouldn't put his hand on himself. We should go and be leaders of the people. This morning, I had a very odd, peculiar experience here in the pulpit. And that was about the last part of the message. I wasn't aiming to say it that way, you see. But I guess it's already said, and there's nothing I can do about it now. But then I got home, got studying about it, and had a little family reunion today of just my brethren and them. Mama's gone, and we used to meet at her house, and now we're going up to the Lord. We had a nice time up there this afternoon, talking. Katie was along. We sang some songs, played some hymns and things. Now, I think maybe next Sunday morning, if the Lord is willing, if Brother Neville don't care, I'd like to have a healing service, just dedicated only to healing.
Yes.
And I think with the message this morning, the way the Lord seemed to lead me to bring it out, ought to kind of encourage us a little, you see, to really believe. We play around and we take different things and talk about them, but then when it comes to a showdown, that's something different. As someone was telling, I believe it was my brother back there, telling a little story today about a man, a minister, and his son of one of his congregations, he said he could walk a log. He said, Pastor, sure, the Lord's with you. He said, I can pack a log across my back. Want to go across? Sure, the Lord's with you. And he went and done it. He said, I can pack a log and wheel a wheelbarrow across the same time. Sure, Pastor, the Lord's with you. Your faith can do anything. He said, I can put you in the wheelbarrow and pack the log. He said, oh, wait a minute. That's different. when you're included in it yourself. Now, that is mighty good for us to say here, amen. It's mighty good for us to say, I believe that's true, but then put it in action.
That's right.
And then put it in action. As I brought that statement this morning, the people is laying in the shadow of Peter. They never even asked for prayer. I've went into many homes watching this. Pray before going. Just go in there with an awning and don't even pray so people walk out on their heels.
Amen. Amen.
I've seen it done so many times. You've got to have somewhere to place your faith.
Yeah.
You've got to believe. And I believe that the hour is approaching and now is. And I realize that this is not a tape service. They might make a little one for themselves. But this is not a tape that goes out across the country. This, what I was speaking of this morning, has brought us right up to the climax, and that's the reason I'm going to take next Sunday for a healing service, because since I've been home, I've told you about the visions and what happened and everything, and brought it up why I've done all these things, and then this morning bring it right up now to that last pool. Now, it's my time for consecration to God. God's time to speak to me. See, I must just have a little change in my own life. That not as I think that I'm wicked, but I want to feel a little more closer to people. See, the people that I have tried to tell this gospel truth to, and they turn their back on, walk away, and laugh at it. Now, to me, that seems like it's an insult. I don't care to me, but to the things that I've been saying, it's the truth, trying to help them. Like shoving out a boat and say, here, just cross over. Here, get out of that swelling stream. You're going to die. You're going to perish there. And they just laugh at you and walk away. Well, to me, it feels like if they walk away, there's
amen.
Nothing more I can do about it, see, that I can do. But I want to run down the bank now and persuade them, come on back.
Yeah,
and I've got
amen.
To have that feeling, because I know there's somebody out there that hasn't come in yet. And I'm going to fish till he said to me, the last fish is caught. I want to do that. Now, in order to do this, I'm expecting something to happen in a prayer meeting. Something, and many of you remember the vision of the last pool, that third pool, rather. You remember there was something happened just before that. I seen that light come and go down into that place and said, I'll meet you there. Now, I'm looking for something to happen. Here, years ago, it used to be that the services and that discernment would make me so weak I'd stagger. Many of you remember that. Just get to a spot that's standing. I had Jack Moore on one arm and Brother Brown on the other and walked me up and down the street for an hour after service. And I just had, was trying to think of where I was at and what was taking place. And I all night lay there and think of it and sob and everything else and wonder why they didn't accept our Lord Jesus. Then he told me the vision, one time you'll meet a lady that will come to you wearing a brown suit, and she'll be packing a little baby and a blanket. And from that time on, you'll have strength to endure stronger. Well, I told you all that. And in Chicago, it happened that night when the little Presbyterian lady, when her own pastor sent her down there with a baby, I believe it was his brother, or one of them was a doctor, and said there's not a hope for the baby. Unless Almighty God touches him. She went and told her pastor. Her pastor said, I am not qualified, he said, to act upon this divine healing because I don't have it within me, the faith that it takes to do it. Now, that's been honest. He said, I don't just have it in me. He said, but I was at one of Brother Branham's meetings, and I advise you to take the baby to Brother Branham. And the doctor would give it up, and it was going to die. And the little lady walked in there where I was having some sort of a service for them little Catholic children that got burned up in that school up there. You know, remember when it was? We had that service, and coming right down the platform comes that little lady with the brown suit on. My wife and him were sitting there, and I said, turn and look all around and see if they're standing there, and happened to be that just before it come up, I believe Billy Paul and them have been talking to her wife or some of them to the lady with the little baby. And the lady walked up to the platform, the Holy Spirit revealed the whole thing and healed the baby there and walked away. And since then, I just don't get tired. See, it don't bother me.
Amen.
I just go right on and on. Now I'm looking for something to happen to start that third pull in the morning. And maybe the next Sunday morning healing service, maybe it produced that, I don't know.
Amen.
Our thing for us to do would be tell your people, get the sick people. Now for a healing service, we got to consecrate on sick people. Get your sick people and get them here early next Sunday morning, say by 8 or 8:30, and we'll give them a prayer card as they come in the door, however they do it. And then we'll have a prayer line and pray for the sick. And just see what the Holy Spirit will do. I believe He'll do wonders if we'll just believe Him.
Amen.
But we got to believe Him for that now with all of our heart. And I think that the great hour has arrived, that when God, in so much as we're speaking this morning, has showed us so much and brought us to a certain, just up to a spot, just to push over that little hill, and that's all you need. And then away it goes. Going just like it was, the same thing with the discernment, same thing by the prophetic to watch. I stand in Calgary, I beg your pardon. It was the Queen City down in Regina. And Ern Baxter was standing there and a bunch of us, and the Lord had told me right there in the platform that it'll come to pass, you'll know the very secret of their heart. And that's right. Now, I never thought of that in that manner. I walked up the platform that night with Ern and it started praying for the sick, and here come a man along this laid out his entire life. First time it ever happened, just like that, in a moment, in a healing service. And then I looked out over the audience and here it began to come down over the audience. And think, oh, when we reach the other side, the half has never yet been told of the things to watch out and see things in people's life. I don't say anything about it, just let it alone, see. Unless I'm really compelled to say something. And I look for this next to start like that. See, God in His own way, His own sovereign time to begin it. And it'll be another thing that'll be a way beyond any of these other people.
Amen.
And I'm looking for that to happen. And maybe I thought if I had a little healing service maybe next Sunday, and then the following Sunday I'll probably be away with the kids and them because they got to go back and go to school. And then the next Sunday, of course, I'm up in Chicago at the meeting up there. And then come back the following Monday to leave on Tuesday for Arizona, where the kids get back to school. Well, what'd you find, Pastor?
Well, I've discovered something very strange.
Good, that's very fine. Now, we want to hear about it. So, now, the Lord bless you all real, real good. And I hope to see you here next Sunday and Wednesday night. And listen, don't forget, these little churches like Brother Ruddle, Brother Jackson, Brother Pornell, and all those little brethren who are struggling hard.
Amen.
And they feel like that we are their sister church here. You see, we're kind of like a little mother group to them. That's where they were born out of here, pastors and so forth. And this little fellow back here, Brother, I made the other night over there, Allen. Little Brother Allen, I hope Brother Collins here will get with Brother Allen. If he doesn't know him, they're both Methodist ministers, and has seen truth of word, which the organization of the Methodist Church, which is a fine bunch of people in that Methodist Church. You never think they're not. They are. There's a fine bunch of people in that Catholic Church. There's a fine bunch in the Presbyterian Church and all those places there. It's men and women that are waiting to see that light flash over their path.
Amen.
You just keep flashing the light in humility, sweetness. Let's all grow closer to God by humbling ourselves.
Yes, help us.
Don't forget, this tabernacle will lose its strength. Remember that this is the target where Satan's got every gun in hell trained on. He'll cause one person to do something that's contrary to what the other thinks. He's doing that. He's up to it. That's his business. If he can get somebody to say something, somebody to talk about another, say, well, listen, did you know so-and-so did? Don't you listen to it. Don't you listen to it at all. That's the devil. See, it's Satan. Don't you believe it. If there's anything that somebody's done wrong, pray for them. Don't pray in a selfish way. Say, I'm responsible to you. I've got to pray for that, brother. You take it to your heart, really down for that sister. And just talk and be real sweet, and the first thing you know, you find them right back in the service again. Because after all, we're headed towards the setting of the sun. The Lord Jesus will be coming one of these days. And you know, I think it'll be so sudden and so sweet. So there'll be 100% of the whole world will never know when that rapture takes place. It'll just go so quietly that nobody will know nothing about it. And there'll be, of course, the little groups will say, well, now, so-and-so, or they say this fanatic bunch over there, that a group left from over there, and that's not so, they just gone out somewhere. We've had that fanaticism, see? Well, they say that little tabernacle in a place called Jeffersonville, there's so many of them members, it's missing. See, they just play that out. They say, oh, there's nothing to that, because see, like that, it'll be past, and they won't know it. Across the nation will come. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first. The rapture will take place, the church will be taken home, and then the tribulation will set in, and oh my, we don't want to be here during that time. I don't want to be here in the tribulation. No. God forbid that any of us would ever be here during that time, because he that's filthy is filthy still. He that's holy is holy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. There's no, the Lamb has come forth with his book of redemption, and the bride has been taken out. Those who turned it down has to go through a tribulation period, both Jew and Gentile. What a time of tribulation. I don't want that. Lord, sanctify me now. That's good Nazarene doctrine.
Amen.
And it's truth, too.
Yeah.
It's truth. That's right.
Amen.
Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Take all the world out of me now, Lord. Don't go to heaven. As the old colored brother said, I got my ticket in my hand. It's already punched. And when I come down the river that morning, I don't want no trouble. So that's about right. I don't want no trouble. Hold your ticket in your hand, because we're going over.
Amen.
Just think of it. The great time of redemption is at hand.
Amen.
And now another thing. Brother, what's his name up here at Utica? I think Brother Graham and another brother there that's pastoring there, Shanks or something like that.
Shanks.
Brother Snelling's a pastor altogether. Brother Snelling's a pastor up at Utica now. I think their prayer meeting is on
Thursday night.
Now, you know, it would be real nice if we would trip up there on Thursday night and show those fellows a little fellowship, see? And then when Brother Jackson, at times that he has this, if we just get a little group of us together and go, just keep praying, keep digging. Just don't stop. Just like when Elijah told him, said, dig ditches out there. When you get down, you hit an old tin can, say, I'm too tired. Throw it out away, keep digging. Just keep digging, because we got to dig. We just got to dig, that's all. Because if you expect to miss the tribulation, you better start digging. Now, for myself, I'm preaching to myself there. I'm going to start digging deeper than I ever do. Because I feel like that in the nation and around the world, that this ministry will again, as it's known now about everywhere over the world, I must go again. Wife said to me, every morning I said, I want you to go with me. When I leave, I'm going to leave around January, the Lord willing. I want to take a complete world tour all the way around.
Amen.
Come back and maybe have services in the United States sometime next summer. And she said, I'm too old to go. Well, I said, I went when my last trip overseas was about 8 years ago, and I feel like I'm in better shape now than I was 8 years ago.
Amen.
You know, I know more about it now. And then we got on the subject, if the Lord said, I'm going to lot you 25 years. You're not going to get feeble. You'll be able to go. And I'm going to lot you 25 years on earth. Would you take from birth to 25, or from 25 to 50, 50 to 75, or 75 to 100? Now, any man that's lotted any time on earth will certainly do a most rational thing if he don't spend that time in service of God. I don't care what he does.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to be a heartbreak for the women or so forth, you better take that young age, that first 25. See? If you're going to be a carpenter, a mechanic, or something, you better take the second 25, see? But I was thinking about, what about me? What would I take? I'd take from 75 to 100. I'd be smarter, wiser. I'd be more settled. I know more about what I'm doing. I'm 8 or 10 years older than the last time I was overseas. I won't jump in like I'm killing snakes. I know more about it, see? I know how, is it like a coon dog fighting a coon? See, you know about how to take a hold of it. You don't jump in there and scratch you up. See? No, it's tricks. And watching what he does. And we learn more about the enemy. So we've got to find out all of his tactics and how he approaches and what he does. Learn his punches. Then you're trained to go in on him, you see. So I believe now, I told my wife I believe I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 40 years old and went over. I'm 54. Now I believe if I live and can still get around as good as I can now, when I'm 100, if Jesus would carry that law, I'd be in better shape then than I am now to go. Because you know more about it. You know more about what to do and how to handle it. How to handle the situation.
Amen.
Take a lot of people now if you're going to get operated on. Say a new doctor just graduated the other day and just come out of medical school. He's never had an operation yet. Let him do it.
Oh, no, you say nothing to
it. Not that guy. No, sir. Yet, no, indeed. I don't want him putting on a knife on me. Well, I'd better go down here and get so-and-so. I know he's had a lot of operations. He knows how to do it. That's the idea. You think about this, but what about that soul? I want somebody who knows where they're at.
Amen.
Knows the road who's traveling. Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Lord bless you. All right, Brother Neville. Get up here now. And God bless Brother Neville. Don't forget now. Next time.
I was just had a surprise in my heart for the thing, because in myself I had recognized, I esteemed the ministry of my many brethren. Outside of there, before Brother Branham come, I said, now I don't know if he'll minister tonight. I was talking to Dr. Lee Vail here, and I said, I was in the meeting at Middletown, Ohio, and you were the one that talked through the day. And I said, I deeply appreciated the meeting, along with the teaching that Brother Vail did over there in conjunction with the meeting at Middletown.
Yes.
And I said, I've seen the servants of God, and one of us, I said, whoever preaches, it always does the other one good, because the ministry is all inspired by the same Spirit.
Amen.
And there isn't any selfishness or ambitiousness in me, and I delight to welcome the ministers of God, especially who are cooperating together with this and in it together with us. I delight to hear from them.
Amen.
So I asked Dr. Lee Vail, I said, would you minister if Brother Branham does? Brother Branham didn't, he might have known this.
No, he didn't say anything about it. Wouldn't talk that long.
And so I asked Brother Vail tonight if he would minister for us, in case that Brother Branham didn't, because he's associated with him in the meeting, and he knows about the way, this way, and we're glad to have Brother Vail. I appreciate him and respect him as well as I do any of the other ministers, and like I do all the others, and so if he will come tonight and speak for us, I'd be delighted to have him to do it. God bless, and let's pray for Brother Vail. Some of you have never heard him, and I trust that you pray for him.
I apologize to the audience. I didn't know it was sitting there that he had just fixed up. God bless you, Brother Dale.
It wasn't fixed up. He said it didn't come.
Sure, that's fine. I can hear him myself. Brother Dale spoke many times ahead of me in the meetings and so forth. He managed the meetings for a long time. And fine, Brother, done a swell job. And I'm sure this audience is always glad to hear Brother Dale when he speaks.
Amen.
Lord bless Brother Dale. So much was said, I couldn't say nothing to make it any better. And I truly believe that it was the Lord that worked this out for Brother Vail to bring this message.
Amen.
After this morning.
Yes, so do
I. You see, it has to work that way. We accept that from God.
Yes.
Well, there's so many things he was saying. I have 20 sermons go down here, Roger, what he said. I was thinking here of one little illustration to back up what he said. Now, we look at this watch to find out what time it is. Unless there's every instrument in that watch is coordinating one with the other, we'll never know the correct time.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that takes all of us, all together. If we want to see the third pool really do something for God, it's coordination with every one of us together to humble ourselves before God and confess our wrongs and pray and believe God for these things. I truly believe that what Brother Vail said is the truth, that God will never put his Spirit in a holy, unrighteous, disobedient temple. No, it's got to come in the way of the cleansing of our hearts from all guile and iniquity, that we might be pure before God, that He might work His pure Holy Spirit through us to bring these things to pass. I think that when you go home tonight, if you read that little book of Jude, you just learn a whole lot now of what Brother Bale has said. And he says, I earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. They got away from it. How a man of corrupt mind and so forth had come in and beguile him away from the real things of God. And God can only operate as we let Him operate. And so many wonderful things about saying, people want power. Yes. And really, they don't know what power is.
Amen.
They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down.
Yes.
Always, if you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God, and then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a big loud noise. Because you have been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ, to humble yourself before Him. That's really power. You show me a church that's humble, real humble, not an arrogant a church, just a sweet, humble church. I'll show you a church that has the favor and power of God.
Amen.
That's the thing it takes. Humility, humbling ourselves before God, letting God just work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes, as the farmer said, he went out to the field with his wagon, and every time he hit a bump, it just rattled and went on. But when he come back, he hit the same bump, and didn't make no noise at all because it was loaded with good things. So I think that's about right. That we get filled up with the good things of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be known to us, as he referred so much to 1 Corinthians 13 there. How that, though I give my body be burnt and have all these things and have not charity, it's nothing, profits me nothing. We want to do that. Above all things, it's our individual souls that we're responsible before God.
Amen.
See, it's you going to heaven. It isn't whether I go or he goes, it's you going. See, it's you first. And you've got to look this out and come sweet before the Lord. And I've always found out that the man that humbles himself is the man that God exalts. When you take a person with his chest out, knows everything, and he can't tell him nothing, and he's arrogant, that's the person that never gets anywhere. But you take that person that humbles himself and walks sweetly. I was talking to a man the other day, just organizing a church up at the pulled out of an organization that they'd been at, Brother Bovey. And that church where they'd had that great church there for so long, and the Lord is blessing, and the people got to a place that they want to polish up like the rest of them and want to throw it into an organization. And when they did, it just, those humble Christians in there did not want that, or their lives had been taught against it, so they walked away from it. Now they've got a group, and the Lord has blessed them until they're coming in up into a big place now again, or a church now that puts up about 4,000 or 5,000 people, and they're starting over. And they come to me and said, Brother Branham, sitting right there in the office, the church office the other day, and he said, one of the leaders of the cross to them said, what must we do? I said, find a man to be the shepherd that has no reputation or all denomination, just a real good, genuine, sweet, humble brother that lives a life. God will take care of the rest of us. I said, a good pastor that will just feed the sheep and be humble and thank God will do the rest of you. Not some big know-it-alls coming in to put this in order and this has to be this way, cutting things right. I said, it'll never work. You just got to do it. That's it. Every piece in the church must work together. And you must keep up your part of it so we see what time we're living in. We may be closer than we think we are. Now we appreciate Brother Bale, don't we?
Amen.
The Lord bless you, Brother Bale. Thank you, and we thank the Lord for bringing this great message to us tonight. And I got a note a few minutes ago, one of the sisters had something she wanted to tell in a dream. If you just write it out, tell me, sister, they give her some dreams that have been absolutely true. We don't accept all dreams, no. But when they're of God, we want to know it. It's God talking to us. Like everything speaks in tongues, we don't believe it. But when there's an interpretation comes that tells us something that's going to happen, we see it happen and we thank the Lord for it. See, we want to keep it running smoothly, sweetly, and in order of the Lord. So just remember that your part may be the mainspring, or it may be the little some little hand or some little part of the winding stem, whatever it may be, or it may be the hands on the face of the clock that tells the time. But whatever it is, it takes us all working together in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring this to pass. Just think, if gift is so great, what we call power, and Paul said, though I have faith that I can move a mountain, and have not charity, I am nothing. Think of that. And though you say, well, though I understand, I wish I know the Bible, though I understand all the mysteries of God, see? And still, though I could do it and have not charity, I'm nothing, see? I haven't got nowhere yet, see? The main thing is love God and humble yourself with it. Now, surely, after all these years on the field and around the world and seeing different people, I ought to know a little bit about the gate to enter in at. And if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around. Don't let no malice come in, no matter what anybody's done. If they are wrong, don't you never build up a complex against that person. You be sweet and kind. Remember, God loves you when you were in sin. And if the Spirit of God's in you, you love the other person when he's in wrong. Just pray for them and love one another above everything. Love God and love one another and be humble with God and around one another. And God will bless us and start down what he will do. Usually when church begins to get in numbers and get to getting a little bigger or something like that, then they get away from that real thing. The real thing. You know what brought these things to pass? When I first started, and the Lord appeared to me down the river and told me that, and Brother Dale saw that, I believe, in a paper in Canada many years ago, where that angel of the Lord appeared on the river down there. It was on Associated Press, Mystic Light, over a local minister while baptized. And you know what did that? When we had the tent meeting just across the street, a tent that seated about 2,500 people, ministers come from everywhere and said, "Brother, come here a minute. I'm just a boy, but or just a kid." And he said, "How do you keep those people in one accord? They love one another till they, I've ever seen people love one another." That's the law. That's what this church was established upon, that godly, brotherly love for one another. I see them even shake hands with one another leaving the place and cry like babies to leave one another. They love one another that well. And I could go to their house to visit them, and times the Bible was laying open and stained with tears. Come in at nighttime where fathers and mothers was gathered together, and there are little children around on the floor, kneeling around, and fathers and mothers on their knees crying and praying. And I'd stand at the door and wait, wait, wait. And they didn't stop praying. I just sat down on the steps and started praying myself. Wait, one thing. And that was why, and they love one another. They love one another. We used to stand and sing that old song, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." I say this with great joy in my heart to Christ. Many of them are sleeping around in these graves, Mark, tonight, waiting for that great resurrection where we'll meet together again. Let not that spirit ever depart from this place. If it ever does, then I don't care how eloquent your pastor might be, how well he might bring the Word of God, the Spirit of God is grieved away. And we can have all things in fellowship in common, love one another, then God will work with us. And we're keeping time that the people come by and say, "If you want to see a church that's really humble, a church that really loves God, drop in up there at that tabernacle one time and watch them. Look at the care they have for one another, the respect when the gospel's being preached, how reverent, how everything just in order." Then they can look and see what time we're living. You'll see the Spirit of God moving among you. Great signs and wonders and things will be taking place. If the thing's working together, it's telling the time. But if it isn't working, then time is stopped. It won't tell the time no more. So if we want to know what time we're living, just start everybody working together in the gospel, loving one another, loving God, and the hands itself will tell the time what we're living.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Good. Amen. The Lord bless you real richly. Don't forget now, get around this week, and if you know any of the sick people that's coming in,
tell them when he comes, say, dear, I want to ask you, we're having a prayer for the sick Sunday morning over at the tabernacle, and you've been sick for a while. Now, I want to go. I've always wanted to go. Now, I just heard a message Sunday night from a brother there that how we would confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we might be healed. James 5:13, 13, 14, 15. That we must confess our faults one to another before we even come for healing.
Yeah.
Confess our faults one to another and pray one for the other. See that? This is exactly what he's talking about tonight. Brings back the Beatitude in with Mark 16.
Amen.
Blend that together, you've got it. Then healings take place. Look at Jesus. Nothing but one bundle of love. See, he was God manifested. God expressed himself through it. No wonder miracles and things happen. His humble life and consecrated life to come from just from being God to be a man here on earth to express God to himself. That's what made him what he was. I've always said what made Jesus God to me was the way he humbled himself. He was so great. And yet he was so small.
Amen. That's right.
The Lord bless you real good. Now, let's stand up and for the dismissal. Let's just try that. You might not know it, sister. That's left feet of tired. But let's sing that one time, will you? Yeah, give us this one.
Left feet
I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. See something like that and turn back around and now let's sing it.
And when we are sons, he gives us inward pain, but we shall feel big joy in heart and hope.
How we love the Lord, amen.
How we
among us, if he'll dismiss us in a word of prayer, Brother Allen.